Now in this shayt, in the next shayt, it will be far more, far simpler. In this shayt, we want to discuss the idea of an avoida, the difference between Shemayim and Oretz. And let's go back to Simchas Torah, and let's ask a very simple question. We know that the world was created either Chofei Elul, or Rosh Hashanah, Hayom HaSolem, or Nisan. Why is it that at Simchas Torah, after Sukkot, we begin reading Bereishis? L'chaira, Bereishis, we should have began at the beginning of the Bria. Matzah Sukkot is not the beginning of the Bria. So why do we begin reading Bereishis? Why the Chazal see it that we should end the Torah and begin the Torah in Simchas Torah and not in Rosh Chodesh Tishri or Rosh Chodesh Nisan, whatever? What's the connection between Simchas Torah and Bereishis? We know, and this is something that we'll do every parasha, B'li Metz Hashem, we know that every beginning in Torah and in Kedusha, the end is always connected to the beginning. When we finish a Masechta, we look for the connection between the end and the beginning. We say in L'chadoidi on Friday night, Soif Maiseh B'machshava Techilo. The end is always connected to the beginning in Ruchnis. And therefore, let's try now, listen carefully, to find a connection between the beginning of Sefer Bereishis and the end of Sefer Bereishis, the end of Parshas Vayechi. The beginning of Parshas Bereishis and the end of Parshas Bereishis. And the connection between the beginning of Perek Aleph of Bereishis and the end of Perek Aleph of Bereishis. Let's try to find the connection between the beginning and the end of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, and Perek Aleph in Parshas Bereishis. And to understand that, we have to look into the Shoresh, where the word Shemayim comes from, where the word Oretz comes from. Here we'll see something incredible. The Sefarno says that the word Shemayim comes from the word Shom. Shomayim, Shom. It shows in something that's in the distance. Shom, it's over there, it's far, it's in the distance. The Gro also says something. It says the same thing. Milas Shemayim Nigzar Mishom Hamoira Al Dova, which is Rochik. That's Shemayim. Radak says that the word Oretz comes from the word Rot. What does Rot mean? To run. Shemayim means Shom, it's over there. Oretz means Rat, to run. What's going on over here? The answer is, the explanation is the following. In the Oretz, we run. Where to? Shom. It's over there. To Shemayim. What does that mean? Let me read out a few words of the Maral in the Sivas Oil of the Sivat Torah and Perek Zayin. Says the Maral the following. He explains, why does a person run? Kol dova rot el dova shuhu mashlim oisei. Everybody runs to find his shlemus. He runs to his shlemus. If a person feels the koidim there, hu chosam in hashlemosei. Before a person begins running, he's not b'shlemus. He wants to be b'shlemus, so he runs to where he's going to become shlemus. That's what the Maral says in the Sefer Torah and Perek Zayin. Therefore, if the Oretz is minoshen rot, if the Oretz is to run, means that in the Oretz there's no shlemus. And that's why we're running. Because the person always runs to his shlemus. So if when we're on the Oretz we run, it must be we're running towards our shlemus. So the Oretz itself is rat, it's running, there's no shlemus there. We're running from the Oretz to reach the shlemus. Where is the shlemus? Shom, over there in Shemayim. That's the Shemayim and Oretz. Oretz, we run to Shom, to the distance, to over there, to Shemayim. That's where we reach our shlemus. Therefore, the Maral also says over there, when a person's running, there's no shlemus. There's no menucha, A person is not the menucha when he's running. Running is very tiring. It's the opposite of menucha. When a person runs, he's running towards his menucha. When he gets to his destination, then he relaxes. So Oret is the place for running. Can't be the destination. Because you only run until you get to your destination. So Oret is there for running, shows that that's not the destination. Shom, that's the mokum of menucha. That's where we relax. That's our destination. So that's the chiluk between Oret and Shemayim. And this reminds us of the famous Mishnah in Obis and Perek Dalet's Mishnah Yudalit, Rabbi Yaakov Oime, Olam Azeh Doime, Leprozdor Bifne Olam Habo. Olam Azeh is a corridor. Haskin Atzmacho, prepare yourself for Prozdor in the corridor, Kadeshit Tekonis Letraklin, in order to Yeshubi Zoicha to get into the palace. Every person has to run in Oretz in order to get to his destination. That's why we find the idea of running when it comes to mitzvahs. Also a mission in others. Heavy ruts the mitzvah. A person should run to do a mitzvah. At the end of Perek Hay Novus, we're still in Perek Dalet, another mission you're definitely well acquainted with. Yehuda ben Tei Moime, Heavy Kal Kinesha, Rot Kitzvi, Gibor Kari, Lasses Ritzayda Vichash Vashmaim. A person should spend his life running to do mitzvahs. The Gemara says in Brachas, Rabbi Shoma Levi Oime, La'olam Yorutz Adam Ledvar Alocha. Even on Shabbos. When you're Shabbos, you're not allowed to run. But if you're running to do a mitzvah, then you're allowed to run on Shabbos. What do you see from all this? Yeah? You have a question?
Yeah. So, why would we want to go to Shemayim?
That is, it doesn't mean we're running to Shemayim means that we're not running unto the tent. It means we're running to do Torah and mitzvahs in order, because doing Torah and mitzvahs makes us reach our Shleim.
Right, but when the previous day, you're like, Shemayim is a new
That's right, Hashem is higher than Shemayim. So Shemayim is the Mokim Schar. Shemayim is the Mokim where we rest from doing all our mitzvahs. Where we get the Schar from all the mitzvahs. Hashem, much higher than Shemayim.
If you don't run to do the mitzvah, then you'll never reach Shemayim.
So Shemayim is the destination. In other words, we don't say we're reaching Hashem when we reach Shemayim. We're reaching the Mokim HaMenucha. We're reaching the place where we've reached the destination. We haven't reached Hashem. We never reach Hashem. In Lost Lava, we also never reach Hashem. We carry on going up and 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 up, but we never reach Hashem. And we carry on going up and up forever and ever more, but we never reach Hashem. Shom. Shem Shom. But anyway, so that's the Yesod over here. The Yesod is that Oretz is to run, there's no Menucha because there's no Shleimus. Shom, Shamayim, that's the Mokum of Shleimus, that's the Mokum of Menucha. Oretz and Shemayim have the parallel down here as well in days of the week. The 6 days of the week are Oretz. Shabbos is Shemayim. Shabbos is a day of running or a day of Menucha? Menucha. Shabbos is like Shemayim. Misha Torach Be'erev Shabbos. If you work very hard during the week, Yerchal B'Shabbos, then you rest on Shabbos. You're not allowed to run on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is Menucha, Shabbos is Shom. The weekdays correspond to life in Oretz, in Olam Hazeh. Shabbos corresponds to life in Olam Haba, Shom, in Shemayim. That's Me'ein Olam Haba, Yom Shabbos, Menucha. Man, as we mentioned in the earlier shiur, is made up from Guf and Neshama. The Guf is very heavy and very lazy. The Neshama is very light, very zealous, and very fit. There's a halacha in Shabbos, in Hilchos Shabbos. If I carry you out in the street on Shabbos, when a person is alive, am I chayav for hoitzah? No. I carried you out in the street. I didn't carry you. You know who carried you? You carried yourself. So the Gemara, hachay, noisei esatzmoi. A live person carries himself. A dead person, if you carry a dead person out in the street, then you're chayav. Because he doesn't carry himself, you're carrying him. Who's heavier, a live person or a dead person? A dead person, much heavier. Why? Because he's got no neshama, he's lost his lightness. Let me explain you what this means in Pnimius. A guf is heavy, and the neshama is light. What does that mean? Where does the neshama always want to go back to? Shemayim, where it comes from. And therefore it's always running. It's light. Where does the guf come from? Oretz. In other words, the guf has it when a person dies, after Me'av Esrim, his guf goes back into the Oretz. Which means the following. This is the battle between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hora. It's a very important you saw this. You see how everything in Pashup Shad is reflected in Pnimius. The Yetzer Hora comes to you in the morning and tells you to stay in bed, to be lazy. What does that mean? He's telling you that your guf wants to stay here. What's he telling you? What's his message? His message is, why are you getting out of bed? You should get up like a lion. Why? Stay here, relax. What does the Yetzer Hara tell you? The Yetzer Hara tells you that where's the Shom? Down here on earth. There's nowhere to run to. You have a good life, you're b'shleimus over here. The Yetzer Tov is telling you, Shemayim, you're Neshama, wants to get up to Shemayim. The Maral says a person is lazy because of his guf, and a person is fit because of neshama. A tzaddik, somebody who lives his life of neshama, is always running. Somebody who is gashmi, is gufni, he's lazy. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the person. If a person realizes and never forgets that Aretz is Miloshen Ratz, then he's bezrizus all his life. If a person realizes that Shemaim is Sham, the Shleim is the Sham, and here is Aretz, which is Ratz, then he spends his whole life hopping around doing as many mitzvahs as he can. If a person spends his life relaxing down here, instead of being Ratz and Aretz, he obviously means that he doesn't feel that Aretz is Ratz, he feels that Aretz is Sham. He feels that his Shleim is over here and there's nowhere to run to. A person must realize that, like the Maral said earlier, that down here we're not b'shleimus. We're running towards our shleimus, but we're not b'shleimus down here. If a person feels that he's b'shleimus down here, he's the lazy person. That's the pshat. That's the chet of Adam Chava. Now we come into our second mahalach in the chet of the nachash, the chet of the Eitz Hadas. What did the nachash tell Adam Chava? V'yisem ke'elikim. Shleimus. Eat from the Eitz Hadas, and you're not lacking anymore. But Yisum Kilakim. You're like God. There's nobody greater than you. You're not lacking anything. The Nachash was saying that down here, relax down here in this world. Eat from the Eitz Hadas, come like God, that's it. No more Avodah. Relax for the rest of your life. How is the Nachash punished? By being forced into a very relaxing position, which is lying down. The Nachash lies down all his life. His legs got chopped off. A person, Oretz is Miloshen Ratz. What does a person run with? His legs. What was the Nachash telling Adam? There's no need to run. The Shlemus is down here. Ah, Nachash, you're giving a message, there's no need to run? You don't need your legs. If you don't need to run, you don't need legs. Oops, off with your legs. That's why Nachash got his legs taken off. His message was that Olam Hazeh is made to relax. What is the Oynish that Adam got? He's going to have to work very hard. Adam is forced now into working very hard, and the other thing that was decreed upon him is that he's going to have to die. You say that your b'shleim is down here? Okay. You say that you can be lazy down here, you can lie down all your life? Lovely. That's where your guf is going to be. You're right. You will. You'll lie down over here. Your neshamot will go up to Shemayim and your guf will lie down. That was the chet of the Yisam Kelekim, feeling that you can relax down here. The whole idea of Oretz Miloshen Ratz was completely covered, was completely hidden by the Nochosh and by Odom through the Chet. And therefore, at the end of Sefer Bereishis, and end of Parshas Bereishis, the pasuk says, "Vayinochem Hashem ki asa sa Odom ba'Oretz." Doesn't say that Hashem regretted Kaviyochum creating man. It says, "Vayinochem Hashem ki asa sa Odom ba'Oretz." It's in Perek Vav, pasuk Vav, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the whole message that Oretz is Miloshen Ratz was forgotten. Parshas Noach, Vatishachis ha Oretz lifnei Elokim. This week's parsha, Vatimolei ha Oretz chomos, Vayar lekim es ha Oretz kinei nishchasa. What's going on? What does that mean? The Oretz was nishcha. The Oretz was destructive, which means that the whole idea of Oretz Miloshen Ratz was completely destroyed. Nobody looks at the Oretz Miloshen Ratz anymore. Everybody feels that Oretz is the place of menucha. The Oretz is the place to relax. There's no avoider anymore. There's no avoider whatsoever. Says Rashi, what were they doing? Batishachis Oretz. Rashi quotes two averus. Number one, avoider zora, and number two, gilei aroyos. Why was avoider zora? What's the whole idea of avoider zora? Like we mentioned yesterday, why did they used to take stones? Why did they used to take things that can't move? To show you that the greatest avoider, the greatest oivid is a doimim. You can be a doimim. You don't have to move in your life. You can relax. You can stay in the same place. There's nowhere to run to. Gilei aroyos is the bechino of lying down. A person, everybody knows, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that a person shouldn't lie down in bed too long, because then he gets into hirhurim, etc. The lying down position is a position that's ma'ira, that awakens taivas, etc. Lying down, relaxing, giving up your life for taivas. That was vatishachis ha'oretz. There's no more ruts, there's no more getting up and running with your legs, running to do Torah mitzvahs. What was the final straw that caused the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy the world? Which avera? Lo'inechtam gzadinam elo al ha. So you haven't done Rashi yet this week? It's only Monday. Doesn't matter.
Wait, what?
No. Lo'inechtam gzadin ala gezel. The final straw to bring about the destruction of the world, says Rashi in this week's parsha, was gezel, stealing. Why was stealing so bad? Teretz says stealing is the same message. Don't forget, Adam Arishon was punished that he has to work very hard for his livelihood. Because he thought that he can relax down here. Hashem punished him, midah k'neged midah, he's got to work very hard for his livelihood. That message was completely forgotten and ignored. Nobody wants to work very hard for their livelihood. But the shach is the oritz. There's no running, there's no working hard. Everybody wants menucha. What's the easy way of getting money? Stealing. Robbing the bank. And therefore, the mabul, anshe dara mabul, show the greatest matishachis haaretz. There's no running, there's no working anymore. It's all sitting back, mafia, and getting your money. That caused the world to be destroyed. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy the world? With mayim dafka? Because we know that mayim corresponds to menucha. Almei menuchois yenaha leini. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Dor HaMavel. You want menucha down here? Oretz is meant to be rough. If you're looking for menucha, I'll send you an abundance of menucha. I'll send you a nice lot, a large measure of almei menuchois yenaha leini, and stay there. Mayim is menucha. They look for menucha down here. Oretz is not meant for menucha. If you look for menucha down here, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll send you the mayim, I'll send you the mei menuchas yana aleini. And that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed it. We know that during the days of the Mabul, was there any sun and moon? Was there any movement in the Bria? No. Menucha. The whole Bria was in a matzav of menucha. There was no sunrise, no sunset, no moon coming out, no stars. The whole world was one big menucha. Do you know what happens when Oretz turns into Menucha? That's the destruction of the world. Because Oretz is Ratz, the opposite of Menucha. If you want to use Oretz for Menucha, Hashem says, I'll turn everything into Menucha. I'll send you the main Menuchas. I'll make the whole Bria into Menucha. No sun, no moon, no stars, no movement at all. What's the result? Complete and utter destruction of the world. Who understood what the real Menucha is? Noach. And therefore Noach is from the word Menucha. Vayonach. Now Zohar HaKadosh says that Noach represents Shabbos, Vayonach Vayom HaShvi. Are Goyim allowed to keep Shabbos? No. Which parasha is it learned out from? Parasha Noach. This week's parasha. Yoim v'layla loy yish boisu. Oit kol yimei oret zera, etc. You'll read it when you do the Shnai Mikrop. Yoim v'layla loy yish boisu. Which from there we learn out that Goy Akum Shoshovas, a Goy, an idol worshipper, that so that keep Shabbos is Chayav Misa. Why? Because they have got no idea what the real menucha is. The real menucha is only after a week of spent of Torah and mitzvahs, of running, of Oretz, Milosh and Ratz. They look for menucha their whole life. They don't understand, they've got no inkling, they've got no idea what the real menucha is, and therefore they're not allowed to. Then their type of menucha is the menucha of during the Mabul. And therefore Parshas Noach teaches us that Yom Malai Lelay Yishboisu, a goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. While the whole world was in a matzav of menucha, what was Noach doing? Noach was running. Did Noach have a nice time? Did he have a pleasant menucha in the teva? No. Day and night. Day and night. Like Rashi says, and the Pasuk says, Goynach v'koyek amitorech ha-behemes v'chayes, like Rashi explains. Noach was busy day and night. The lion came a bit late. The lion kicked him, etc. Is that the matzah of what's going on in Parshas Noach? Parshas Noach is the parasha where they took away the rats from the Oretz. They took away the rats from the Oretz. They brought menucha down, but they brought the wrong menucha down. Where there was supposed to be rats, they wanted to be menucha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came crashing down with menucha onto the world and destroyed the whole world. The pasuk says that Noach sent the yoino. Vayishalech es hayoino me'itoi liroi sakalu hamayim me'al p'nei hadoma. Noach sends the yoino to see whether the water, to see whether he can come out of the table. Why did he dafka send the yoino? And here there's something fascinating. The Medrash says, it's a Medrash later in Parshas Lech Lecha, where the Medrash says that what's unique about a Yoina. Says the Medrash, Kol Oifes, all the birds, B'shar Shein Yigein, when they get tired, Heim Nochen Al Gabi Sela, they rest on a rock, or Al Gabi Ilon on a tree. Listen to this unbelievable nature of a Yoina. Avala HaYoina Hazu, B'shar Shehi Poirachas, when it flies, V'yigia, and he gets a tide, it's exhausted, it doesn't rest. You know what it does? Koifet says ba'achas ma'gafeh or poirachas b'shnia. Takes it in turns. In other words, one wing, with one wing it rests, while with the other wing it still flies. And that wing gets tied, it never rests. A yoina never rests on a stone or on a rock. it's always flying. One half of it rests and the other one flies. One, the other half is rest, now the other half flies. A yoin is continuously, with never resting. So says the Medrash. The Medrash later by Avraham Avinu, we'll come back to it soon. So you see from here that the yoina belongs in an oret that's rats. A yoina never has menuch. And therefore, why is Noach sending the yoina? Because again, what happened in the Bria? The Bria is now in a matzav of menucha. It's resting against the nature of the Bria that's supposed to be rats, that's supposed to be working. And therefore, if Noach wants to see whether the yoina finds its way, feels at home in the Bria now. If the yoina returns, it means that the world is still in a matzav of menucha. Still a matzav of destruction, hasn't yet arrived the time to rebuild the world, to rebuild the oretz with the oretz of tikkun. If the yoina doesn't come back, it shows that it feels at home on the ground, which means it feels at home in the bria now, which means that the world of tikkun has now begun and the mabul has ended. The oretz of tikkun, the oretz of rats, of no menucha, has begun. Is that when the yoina comes back, it shows that the world is still in a matzav of destruction, of menucha, of shvita, and therefore it comes back. That's why Noach Tafka sends the Yoina. The Yoina is the messenger to see whether we're ready for the new Oretz, the Oretz of Tikkun, of rats, of always running towards the Shleimus and not resting. And the Pasuk says, therefore, Oit kol yimei Oretz, Zera v'kotzir v'kore v'choyim v'yoyim v'layla lo yishboisu. After the Mabul, there's a matzav of lo yishboisu. This world is not resting, there's no menucha. Like we mentioned yesterday, Goy sheshovas chayiv misa. The end of Parshas Noach, we find something even more credible. The Dor HaFlaga. What was the Dor HaFlaga? What was their message? L'chaira, the Dor HaFlaga seems to be a completely different type of avera to the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul was Vatishachis, Oretz, Aroyes, Gezel. And the Dor HaFlaga was a completely different plan. It was more kfira. So what's it doing in Parshas Noach? If the Dor HaFlaga is in Parshas Noach, means it's intrinsically connected to Parshas Noach. How? The answer is very poshut. The Chet HaMabul and the Chet of the Dor HaFlaga was one Chet. It was two sides of a coin. We said that the Dor HaMabul uprooted the rots from Oretz. They said that the world, Olam HaZeh, is here from Menucha. Do you know what the Dor HaFlaga did? They broke the Shom from Shemayim. Excellent. In other words, we know that why do you have to work so hard in Olam HaZeh? Because the destination is very far. We've got to get there. Shom, it's there. It's the Merchakim. It's in the distance. Dor HaFlaga says, no, not so far. We can build a tower. We can get there. In other words, while you're still in Olam HaZeh, you can reach the Shleimus. It's fine. So the Mabul were Oika, the rats from Oretz, and the Dor HaFlaga, the Shom from Shemayim. And therefore, it's very meduyik in the Pasuk. Because what was their punishment? Says the Pasuk, Misham hifitzam Hashem al pnei kol ha'oretz. They were punished with the name Shom. Misham hifitzam. They were oike the Shom, they were punished with Misham hifitzam Hashem al pnei kol ha'oretz. Says. And what is the destination? Our destination is Olam Haba. And says Chazal in Sanhedrin, that the Dor HaFlaga ein lem chelek l'Olam Haba. Even the Dor HaMabul is a machlokes, the Dor HaFlaga is ein lem chelek l'Olam Haba. Because Olam Haba is the Shleimus. Olam Haba is when you get to Menucha. If you think that it's so easy to get to the Menucha that you can build a tower and get there while you're still in Olam HaZeh, you'll never get there. So that's Rashi. Rashi discusses that's the chiluk. This is Ben Adam Chaveri. This is Ben Adam Mokan. Now that's Rashi's pshat. Rashi discusses this at the end and the end of Parshas Noach. No, Rashi says. So that's why the Dor HaFlaga. That's why the Dor HaFlaga is written in the same parsha. Now, Avraham Avinu, as we know, was the beginning of the tikkun of all this. If the world now was spoiled and destroyed, in other words, if people forgot about the rats from the Oretz and the Shom from Shemayim, Avraham Avinu was the one who brought about this tikkun. Avraham Avinu taught the world that Oretz is rots and Shemayim is Shom. You've got to run, work very hard to get there. He was the Kalkanesha, the Rots Katzvi, last is Ritzoin Avinu Shabashamayim. And therefore, let's take the first two mitzvahs that Avraham Avinu was commanded, and let's see how he went about being Mekayim those mitzvahs. The first, Mitzvah Mila. Mitzvah Mila says the Pasuk, Umol es Besara Losom Be'etzem Ayoyim Azeh. It's in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel. What does it mean, Be'etzem Ayoyim Azeh? Say Chazal. Aracham HaKadosh, I'm reading out his Lashon, Shlenis Akev Me'asayis Mitzvah Hashem. He didn't delay the mitzvah. Elo Teika Fum Yad, Kasha Dibber. As soon as he heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu command him Mitzvah Mila, whoops, he was ready to make time the Mitzvah Mila. V'zeh lo idiyah zrizusay b'avodas Hashem. That teaches us the zrizus that Avraham Avinu had in Avodas Hashem. Therefore, be'etzem ha-yoyim ha-zeh, as he was commanded, he already did the mitzvah. What was the second mitzvah that we find Avraham Avinu with such shlemus? That was mitzvah sachnasas orchem, where the three angels came. And the pasuk says there, the pasuk repeats itself. Vayumaher Avraham ho'oyel el Sarah. Avraham's rushing to the mitzvah. Vayoyim, and he says to Sarah, mahari, hurry up. Shalosh sim kemach. Next pasuk. Ve'el haboka rots Avraham. Vayumaher lasos oisoy. All pasukim at the beginning of Pashas Vayera. So you see that Avraham Avinu has a new tivisak. Avraham Avinu is the runner. Avraham Avinu is the Olympic runner in Avodas Hashem. He's always running. He's always maher. He's always in a hurry because Avraham Avinu realizes the Oretz is rot. By the way, we know that there's a din, there's a chiv, a halach in Shulchan Aruch called Zrizin Magdimin Lemitzvus. Who do you learn it out? Where do you learn it out from? The pasuk of Ayashkim Avraham Ba Boike. That's learned out. That's the Gemara. Gemara Pesachim, the beginning of Pesachim. That says that person kol ayom kosher lemila elasha zrizim akdim lemitzvah shnei avayashkim Avraham Aboike. Avraham Avinu is the zrizim, and therefore be'emet that medrash that I quoted to you before about the yoina. Where's that medrash regarding Avraham Avinu? The medrash says Avraham Avinu is compared to a yoina, just like the yoina never rests. Kach rots Avraham loretz tomet ben li menucha ben time. Avraham Avinu runs. He gets into Eretz Yisrael. Where does he go? He's ready, racing to Vayisa Avram Holech Venasoya Anegbo. He can't wait to get to the Beis Hamikdash. Why does Avram Avinu love the Beis Hamikdash so much? Why is he waiting to get to the Beis Hamikdash? Because how did the Kohanim used to go about doing their avoid in the Beis Hamikdash? They used to fight over it, and they always were running. You all know, we learned this in Yuma, those of you in the Mishnah Shir, that they used to have a race. At the beginning, they all used to run up the ramp, and the one who got there first was Zoicha to the Avodah. The Beis Hamikdash was a mokum where everybody was running. Mishnah Yuma, Mishnah Tomit, Vehim Rotsu Ubo. Rotsu Ubo. Even taking out the deshen, even taking out the ashes. The Chazar, the Mishnah says in Tomit, Miyom Avlonis Atzel HaKoyim in Lehoitzis HaDeshen. They were never lazy. Not even for an avoider, like taking out the ashes. Even a minimal avoider. They were never lazy. They were always reason. We know that Gemara Shabbos says that Koyanim Zrizenheim. Koyanim was reason. So therefore the Beis Hamikdash was the symbol of lightness, of feeling light, of running for avoider. There they felt so much how we have to get to our destination and how avoider is to run. Therefore, Avraham Avinu says the Medrash Rabbah, it Bereishis Rabbah and Perek Mem Vav, Avraham Avinu was a Kohen Gadol. Avraham Kohen Gadol Hoya. And therefore the Pasuk says, Eila told us Shemayim Baretz Behi Baram. Say Chazal Behi Baram is the Rosh HaTevis of Avraham. Because Avraham Avinu was Masaki in the Shemayim Baretz. Eila told us Shemayim Baretz Behi Baram. Avraham Avinu brought the Rots of Baretz back and the Sham of Shemayim back. That was Avraham Avinu's Avodah. Avraham Avinu was fighting with the idol worshippers. We said earlier that idols they used to make out of stone, out of wood. Why? To show you that you reach your greatest shleimus without moving. The idol is the greatest shleimus, but he's a doimim, he can't even move. To teach you that you're here down here in the world, that's our shleimus. That was the message of Avodah Zarah. Avraham Avinu goes crashing the Avodah Zarah, smashing the Avodah Zarah, because Avraham Avinu says, no, look at this doimim, he doesn't do anything. This God, he doesn't do anything. The avodah of a person is to run and to rush. Again, as we mentioned in the previous shiurim, these two tfisot in Avodas Hashem came out. Their pinnacle, the clearest picture, the illustration of these two avodas came out with Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav were the two opposing forces. Whenever there's Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, whenever there's two mahalchim, it's either this hashkofa or that hashkofa. Is one is Yaakov and one is Esav. Yaakov Avinu was born even when he was inside, even when he was still inside his mother, he was fighting to get out. Avraham Yaakov Avinu. It's called Yaakov, Yud Ekev. And we know Chazal say that the Yud corresponds to Olam Haba. Ki Bekah Hashem Tzor, Olamim. Olamim is two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Says the Gemara, Ki Bekah, Ki Be Yud Hey. Hashem created Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Hashem created Olam Hazeh with a Hey and Olam Haba with a Yud. Yud is Olam Haba. Ekev is the ankle. And the Radak says in Tehillim, in Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Vav, says says the Radak, whenever you see the word Ekev, Ekev hu soif kol aguf, nikra soif kol dova Ekev. Whenever you're talking about something that's at the end, something that's the acharis, it's at the end, it's always called Ekev. Like today, the time we're living at the end, to mamish at the end of Golos, at the beginning, already at the threshold of Mashiach, what's this door called? The Ikvasa, the Mashiach. Ekev. Ekev means we're at the acharis already. So Yaakov was called Yaakov Yud Ekev. Yud Olam Haba is the Ekev, that's the acharis, that's the end of the journey, that's the Ekev, that's the end. You gotta get there, and Yaakovinu's in a hurry to get there already. So too, Yaakovinu's name is Yud Ekev. Because Yaakovinu realized that he was born starting at the Ekev. You start right at the bottom and you've got to get all the way to Olam Haba. And therefore you've got a long journey, and therefore Yaakovinu is in a hurry. Esav is called Esav. Why? Says Rashi, because he was born a man. We know a child is born, he can do very little on his own. Slowly, slowly, gradually, gradually, it's a long process until he becomes a man. Esav was born a man. That's why he's called Esav, Lashon Asui. He's already made, he's a made guy. What does that mean? It means Esav doesn't steig. Esav feels that he's reached his shleimus immediately. There's nothing to work for. There's no madregas to reach. I was born asuikva. I was born ready and finished. That's the two opposite tfisot. And therefore, when Yaakov Avinu wants the Bechorah, and as we mentioned earlier, that the Bechorah is avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, Esau's not interested in avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. Esau's not interested to run. Where are you running? You're not going anywhere. What does he say to Yaakov when he ready he gives up the Bechorah? He says, Hini anoichi hoilech. Lamos, I'm going to die. Which means I'm not going anywhere. Yaakov, where are you running? Here's the Shleimus. When you leave here, that's it. That's the end of the story. As therefore, you might as well chaparayin in Olam Hazeh and reach your Menucha and have your Menucha here, because you're not going to have your Menucha anywhere because you're not going anywhere. Is in anoichi hoilech lamos? I'm going to die. Lamos ali bechoira. Why do I need bechoira to work in the Bisham English to run all day? Yaakov, you know, is Yud Ekev. He's going to get to Yud. He's going to get to his Tachlis. Sleeping is lazy. And therefore, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu show him in his dream when he finally does have a bit of menucha? Sula mutzav arza, v'roish shabaki ha-shamayimah, malach elakev, oylem ha-yoridim boy. That's not a very menucha dream. That's not a very peaceful dream. Can you dream about there's a long way to go all the way up to Shemayim, and this constant stream going up and down, up and down, up and down. That's after 14 years of not sleeping, he dreams about people rushing, or angels rushing up and down. Because that's what this message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching him. Yaakov, you're on the right track. You're right. You're a mutzav atzo. But it's Rosh HaMagiyah HaShemayimu. And there's a long way to go. And therefore your mahalach of not sleeping for 14 years is the correct one. And therefore when Yaakovinu gets up, he wakes up, there's a very strange pasuk. Immediately there in Vayetze. When Yaakovinu gets up, what does the pasuk say? Vayisa Yaakov Raglov, he lifted his feet, he raised his feet. Vayelech atza b'nei kedem. What does it mean he lifted his feet? It says, Rashi, nasa libo is raglov. His heart carried his legs. V'nase kal lelechas. Suddenly it was easy for him to go. What's going on over here? What's this teaching us? The Torah says, what did he see? A ladder with a long destination. So when he woke up, what's the first thing he thinks of? His legs. Let's go. Let's go. Got a long way to go. Let's go. He feels light. He feels Jesus. He feels, let's go. We've got to get to the destination. We've got to reach the Shleimus. What was he zoicha to then? He was zoicha to Kvitzas Aderech. He was a long way away from Har Maria. And what happened? Kvitzas Aderech. Suddenly, a second later, something which was very far was suddenly very close to him. What's this symbolizing? Yes, Yaakov, you know, you're going to get to your destination. You suddenly wanted to get to Har Maria? Don't worry. You have a rough time to get to your destination. You're going to see that you're going to get to your destination. Yaakovina is excited. He sees that he's on the way and he sees he's going to get there in Mitzvah. And Yaakovina thinks it's not so far. Not so far anymore. And therefore he feels very light. The Yetzer Hara has gone bankrupt with Yaakovina. The Yetzer Hara makes a person lazy, making him think that the Shlemus is down here. No. Yaakovina, the Yetzer Hara can forget about Yaakovina. And therefore what happens when he started set off on his journey, he arrives to this well, and what's on the well blocking the water? A rock, a very heavy rock. And nobody can tip it off. And what does Yaakov do? Knocks it off with a finger. And the Medrash says that Evan corresponds to the Yetzirah Ra. The Medrash there on that Pasuk, which means Yaakov Avinu sort of with a finger flipped off the Yetzirah Ra. Why is the Yetzer Hara a heavy stone? Because the Yetzer Hara makes you heavy. The Yetzer Hara tells you to be lazy. The Yetzer Hara says, relax, you're not going anywhere. Stay in bed. Yaakov Avinu says, that's not my path. Whoops, off with the stone. I'm light. Liboy, Noses Radlov. He's in a hurry. He gets to the base Lavan. And he meets Rachel first. And when he sees Rachel, he cries. Why does he cry? What does Rashi say? Because he saw that he wasn't going to be buried together with Rachel. Mr. Shem, when you guys go on a date, the first thing you're going to discuss is where you're going to be buried, if it's together, if it's not together. Is that the first thing to discuss when you meet your color? No. So what's Yaakov in? He's met enough for the first time, and he sees Rachel, he cries, I'm not going to be buried with you. What's going on over here? But the answer is that you will know why was Rachel not buried together with Yaakov Avinu. Why does she have to be buried at Beis Lechem? Because she has to be there when Bnei Israel go out to Golus, like Rashi says in Parshas Vayechi. And when the Bnei Israel go out to Golus, and then they pass Beis Lechem, they pass Rachel's tomb, and Rachel cries, V'Rachel Mavako Alba Neo, and she cries and cries until HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises her that they're going to come back. Which means that Yaakov Avinu suddenly... 2 minutes ago he said that Yaakov thinks that the tikkun is very close. Har Maria came to him. The Tachlis came to him very quick. He thought the Achris, he thought that soon he's going to arrive at his destination. Now he suddenly realizes it's not as fast as he wants it to be. There's a Golos. There's a long drawn out period. Long drawn out many, many periods until Klal Yisrael finally reached their destination. Until they finally reached the Sham. And therefore he cried. And therefore he goes to Beis Lavan and he's in a hurry. I've got to push through to get to the destination. And the Pasuk says there in Pasuk Chof that he lived there for 7 years. These 7 years flew by like a few days. Because Yaakov Avinu is in a mode of Kvitzas HaDerech. He's pushing forward to get to his destination. What's Lavan's plan? What happens after 7 years? Yaakov Avinu says, let's pack up and go. What does Lavan say? Another 7 years. Where are you going? You're not going anywhere. Plenty of time. Don't run. You're staying here. Lavan is that tzvitzah. Lavan is the opposite. Lavan is the idol worshipper. Lavan's the big idol worshipper. Lavan says, where are you running to? Stay another 7 years. He tries to stop Yaakov from going because he knows that Yaakov is setting off to a journey to the Tachlis. And Lavan says, no, you're not going anywhere. Eventually when he leaves Lavan, he's faced with his next obstacle. Meeting with Esav and Parshas Vayishlach. And what message does he send to Esav? Esav, I know why you're coming. You're coming to slow me down. You're coming to slow me down. I live by Lavan. What does he say? Im Lavan Garti. Says Rashi, what does it Lavan Garti mean? Excellent. Lada. Tariag Mitzvah Shamati. Don't think that Lavan slowed me down. When I was by Lavan, I was chopping Arayin Mitzvahs, as we mentioned earlier. The Olam Hazeh is Domin LaProzdor. It's only a corridor. You have to chop Arayin in Olam Hazeh in order to get to the destination. So you, Esav, I know why you're coming to slow me down. Don't bother coming. I lived in Lavan's house, in Lavan Garati, but I still kept Tariag Mitzvahs. What's the other pshat that Rashi brings down in Lavan Garati? I was only a ger, I was only a stranger in the house of Lavan. Which means that Yaakov is telling him, I still feel that in Olam Hazeh I'm only a stranger. I'm not here forever. It's only temporary. It's only a corridor. I'm going to leave there. I'm going to run. I'm in a hurry to get to my destination. So the two pshatim in Rashi are really one pshat. Lavan, don't bother coming to slow me down. And therefore Yaakov, what does he send to Lavan? He sends to Lavan all his gifts. All his Olam Hazeh. He says, Yaakov says to Esav, look, you Esav, you said in Anoichi Oilech Lomos, you're looking for earthly pleasures, you're looking for Menucha down here. Hey, take all my earthly pleasures. I'm going in a different direction. I'm going in a vertical direction. I'm going to Shom, to Shemayim. And as the Mishnah says at the end of Ovis, when a person goes up to Shemayim, he doesn't take any of his earthly possessions with him. And therefore Yaakov's telling Esav, I'm going on a different journey. And therefore take all the earthly possessions. Take them. You carry on your journey, on the horizontal journey, and I'm going on the vertical journey. Esav later sends his Malach to intercept Yaakov Avinu. And what does the Malach do to Yaakov? He hurts him in the leg. Yaakov limps. What's that representing? He can't move fast. He can't run. Earlier in Parshas Vayetze, Nasa Kal Aleches. And now Esav's saying, I'm going to limp you. I'm going to cripple you. You won't go so fast. And Yaakov's in such a hurry. He's waiting to get to the Tachlis, to the Achris already. What does Yaakov say to Esav? when Esav wants to come together, when Esav wants to join Yaakov, he hugs and kisses Yaakov, and he says, no, I'll come together with you. Esav says, I'll travel together with you. What's Esav's intention? To make slow Yaakov down. What does Yaakov tell Esav over there? Don't come with me. Why? Because I'm going to slow you down. In other words, Yaakov is like telling Esav, I know your plan. You want to slow me down. That's why you're coming with me. Don't worry, look at all my kids. Anyways, I'm going slowly. Don't worry, I'll meet you somewhere else. Where will I meet you, says Rashi there? Ad ovel adoini se'iro. Where will I meet you? V'olo mashim bahar tzio in lishpoit es har Esav, says Rashi there. I'll meet you in the Achris. I'll get there, don't worry. You won't. Reishas goyim amolek v'acharito adei ovel. Amolek has no future. Why? Because he's trying to slow us down that we shouldn't get to our destination. That's his plan. Every aveira that the Yitzhara makes us do is to slow us down. And therefore, midah keneged midah, he's trying to slow us that we shouldn't get to our destination. He won't get to the destination. Achirito ati oivid. Mochay timcha zeich amolik. Lasid lovoy, there's no zeich, there's no remnants, there's no remembrance b'chlal of amolik. As soon as Yaakov's got rid of Esav, where does he go? He goes to a place which is called Sukkos. Vayosha, vayoma ula dakas ira. Esau went back to say the Yaakov nosa sukkosa. Yaakov goes to Sukkos, al kein korah shem hamokim Sukkos. As soon as he got rid of Esau, he went straight to Sukkos. Why did Yaakov go to Sukkos? Because what does Sukkos remind us of? We're traveling. In this world, we're only temporary. We're only diras arai. Because we're going to get to the next world, that's the diras keva. And therefore, as soon as Yaakov's rid of Esau, Esav is the tfisa that keva's down here. Yaakov goes straight to a place called Sukkos. Because Sukkos, that's Yaakov. Yaakov's an ishtom yoshev oyholim. A tent is somebody who lives in a diras arai, in an oyhel, in a tent. He's on the move. He's traveling and traveling. Yaakov goes to Sukkos. Esav fits into his diras keva down here in Olam Hazeh because that's where he lives and that's where he stays. Yaakov is in a diras arai in a Sukkos because he knows he's heading for a better destination. And the emissary is that this story repeats itself every single year with us. On Yom Kippur we have a Soel Hashem and Soel Azazel. And we discuss this in the Shira of Yom Kippur, that the Soel Hashem corresponds to Yaakov and the Soel Azazel corresponds to Esav. That's the Medrash Rabba in that Pasuk, in Achrei Mois. V'noso ha-Soer es kol avoy nosom. Says the Medrash Rabba, V'noso ha-Soer, the Soel Azazel, that's connected Esav, which was called an Ish. Esav was called an Ish Soer. Eskol avon tam. The sins of tam. Who is called the tam? Yaakov ish tam. Which means that the soul Hashem and soul Azazel means that Yaakov and Esav have met again. And we send Esav far away. We tell Esav we can't travel with you. You go fall off the cliff in Azazel. And we're going somewhere else. We're going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. On Yom Kippur we rid ourselves of Esav. Which chag comes straight after Yom Kippur? Sukkos. Because as soon as Yaakov got rid of Esav, where did he go to a place called Sukkos? As soon as we're rid of Esav and Yom Kippur, where do we go to? Chag HaSukkos. Whenever we rid ourselves of Esav, of the Yetzer Hara, who uproots the rots from the Oretz, we always go straight to Sukkos, because Sukkos reminds us that Oretz is Miloshen Rots. And Yaakovinu is back in this hurry to get to the Achris Hayomim. That's all in Parshas Vayishlach. Then Parshas Vayeshev Yaakov. The next Parshas Vayeshev Yaakov. What does Rashi say there? Bikash Yaakov Leishev Bishalva. Yaakov wasn't interested in swimming on a hammock between two palm trees in the Caribbean. That wasn't the menucha that Yaakov Avinu's Leishev Bishalva. Yaakov Avinu thinks that once I'm rid of Esav, that's it. Nobody's going to stop me anymore. I'm almost there already. Bikash Yaakov Leishev Bishalva. I've been working so hard until now. Yaakov really, in earnest, thinks that he's already reaching the Sham. He got rid of Lava and he got rid of Esav. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, not so fast. Still not ready. Kofza Olav Roigza Shal Yosef. Says Rashi, Leidayan Tzadikim, the Tzadikim have such a big chelik in Olam Abad. They want to have Menucha down here in Olam Hazeh as well. So Rashi says, the beginning of Ayeshu. According to what we're saying, it's beautiful. Wasn't it Yaakovina wants Shalva down here in Olam Hazeh? Yaakov Avinu thought that he's finished with Olam Hazeh when he finished with Esav, and he's ready to go into Sham. He's been rats all his life so far, and he's got rid of the Yetzer, he's got rid of Esav, now he's ready to be Sham, now he's ready to go into Olam Haba. Shmuel said, not so fast. It's a long story with Yosef, got to go down to Mitzrayim, etc., etc. Finally, Yaakov Avinu gets to Parshas Vayechi. Parshas Vayechi Yaakov. And what happens in Parshas Vayechi? Yaakov dies. Interesting name of a parsha. Where the Yaakov Avinu dies, you call the parsha Vayechi Yaakov. Vayechi. Because the Parshas Vayechi is Parshas Olam Haba. And then if you look at the first Rashi, Rashi asks a question. Lama Parshazu Stuma. In the Sefer Torah, between the parshas, you have a gap. Between Vayigash and Vayechi, there's no gap. Rashi, the first Rashi in Vayechi, Lama Parshazu Stuma. Why is it a blocked off parsha? Why can't you see into Parshas Vayechi? Do you know why? Because Parshas Vayechi is the parsha of Olam Haba. And what does the Chazal say about Olam Haba? That Kolam Avim, Gemara Sanhedrin, Kolam Avim Lenisnaba Ela Lemoisa Mashiach. The prophecy of all the prophets can only get until Yemoisa Mashiach. Olam Haba? Ayin Lerosa Lekimsa Vasechel. That's out of our reach. So Parshas Vayechi is Stuma, because it's the parsha of Olam Haba. And what does Yaakov try to tell his children when they were gathered around him at his deathbed? What did he want to tell them? And Hashem took it away from him? Exactly. Bikish Yaakov, Legalis is a case. The pasuk says, "Yosef, Agidolchem." What's going to happen in the Achas Hayomim? Because Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov starts feeling the Sham. He's about to alight. He's arrived at the Sham. He's arrived at his destination. He already starts feeling. Chazal say that tzaddikim feel all of my bone when they're on the deathbed. And out of their desire, out of the tainug that they feel from Olam Haba, then the Shomer just leaves them. That's how a tzaddik departs from the world. That's the feeling that Yaakov Inu has. Oh, Baruch Haba Yaakov, you've arrived to Shom, you've arrived to Olam Haba. He wanted to tell his kids about Olam Haba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've run all your life, you've been rats all your life, you arrive to the Shom. They also have to. And Klal Yisrael also has to go through a golus, and Klal Yisrael has to go through running away and coming back and running away until we finally reach our destination. Emet Hashem. So that's Sefer Bereishis. But Yaakov Avinu reached the destination, and therefore that shows us that we're going to reach the destination. We have now a straight path to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And by the way, we forgot to mention before that when the Tsar Shel Esav lost the battle against Yaakov, he changed Yaakov's name from Yaakov to. Why? Because he tried to make Yaakov, he tried to break the path that Yaakov shouldn't get to his destination. But Yaakov, the Tsar lost the battle, and Yaakov's going to get to his destination. And therefore, say Chazal, the word Yisrael comes from the letters Yashar Kel. Yashar Kel means straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was announced, the Malach announced that Yaakov Avinu, you have now a straight path up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to get to that Shom. And he did get to that Shom. Yisrael is Yashar Kel. And he was called Yisrael because he got there in Parshas Vayechi. We are called Bnei Yisrael because we're going to get there as well in Mitzvah Hashem. Nothing's going to stop us anymore. However many hardships we have to go through, Rachman and Tzlan, we're going to get there in Mitzvah Hashem. And Yaakov Avinu showed us that we're going to get there. And Maisa Ovis, Simon Lebon. If that's the case, then we can come back and we can wind up where we began this year. First question that we asked, why do we begin Sefer Bereishis on Simchas Torah? We should have began Bereishis either on Rosh Hashanah or on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Where the world was created, where the world was created. Y'all, what's the answer? Because it's right after Sukkot. After living in a Sukkah for 7 days. After living in Diras Arai for 7 days. And as the Gemara in Yuma says that Sukkot has the greatest amount of mitzvahs, more mitzvahs than any other chag. After spending Sukkot with the rats in a Diras Arai. Now we understand the message of Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Es HaOretz. Now we can appreciate what Oretz is all about, and where in the Shamayim, and that we're Diras Arai in the Rat to get to the Shom. That's why after Sukkot we begin. And what do we do on Simchas Torah? We dance. How do you dance? You lift your legs. Remember the pasuk about Yaakov Avinu when he woke up from that dream? Ayisa Yaakov Raglov? That's exactly what we do in Simchas Torah. Our legs become light. Because we realize when we read Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Es HaOretz, we realize that we are rots to the Shom, and we're going to get there in Mitzvah Hashem. We're going to get there Bizman Mashiach Tzidkenu in Mitzvah Hashem. With that, we can understand also the second question that we ask. What's the connection between the beginning of Sefer Bereishis and the end of Sefer Bereishis? What's the connection between the beginning of Parshas Bereishis and the end of Parshas Bereishis? What's the connection between Perek Aleph of Parshas Bereishis and the end of Perek Aleph of Parshas Bereishis? The answer is, it's all the same. The beginning of Sefer Bereishis is Shemaim and Oretz. You've got to be rats to get to the Shom. The end of Sefer Bereishis is Parshas Vayechi. We got to Shom. The beginning of Parshas Bereishis is rats to Shom. The end of Parshas Bereishis, the last pasuk is V'noyach Matzachein Vein Hashem. And Noyach is Miloshoin Menucha. Noyach understood the real Menucha. Noyach, Sus Noyach, we get to the real Menucha. What's at the end of the first parak of Bereishis? ויחול השמיים באות וכל צלון החלקים היום השפיעים הלכתה וישפוי סצת שכיבוי שובס מכל מלאכתוי אשר בור הלכים לעשוי סלהל בשבס, לשבס קודש, which is the מעין עולם הבא, which during the week we are rots, and as we mentioned yesterday, Shabbos is מעין עולם הבא, יום שבס מנוחה, שבס is the שום. So the beginning of Sefer and the end of Sefer, beginning of Parsha and the end of Parsha, beginning Perek Aleph, the end of Perek Aleph of Roshes, is all the same message. You begin with the rots, and if you're rots in olam hazeh, you get to Shabbos, you get to the Noach Matzachim, and you get to Parshas Vayechi Yaakov, which is the Yom Shekuli Shabbos and Menucha Lachaya Elomim, which Be'ez Hashem is Baruch will be Zeichetu Bekor of Mamish B'mher of Yemenu Amen.